We have a few speakers deservedly that are going to come forward to speak. First is going to be Brother Joel Ben-Oliel and son Jeff Ben-Oliel, the grandson Al, and then Joe, and then Rabbi Levitan, and then I will be speaking. So will you please come forward?
Thank you all for being here. I want to greet you not only for myself, but my eldest brother, Rabbi Haye Ben-Oliel, in New York, was not able to travel. My sister, Judy, in Israel, not able to get here in time. My brother David is here.
Close. Get close.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
This week, I exchanged several phone calls and texts with my dear brother, staying abreast of his recovery from his heart valve replacement. He declared the procedure a complete success. He was enthusiastically looking forward to a new lease on life. I told him that he sounded years younger than he had before, and he agreed. The last thing I expected was to be here at the end of that week, speaking about him at his funeral. But we don't get to choose these things. We just must accept them. I know others are going to be speaking, and there's much to be said about Al's contributions to this community in his adult life and the friend that he was to so many of us. But I want to talk about Al's early childhood, because I think it provides an insight into the kind of person he became. You all know that he was a talented artisan in retirement. He was a self-taught artisan. He was famous for making mezuzot and pens and jewelry while generously answering the call whenever a synagogue needed a religious article repaired or improved. He loved doing it, and he did it well. Where did this talent come from? As a child, he was naturally curious. He needed to know how things worked and how to fix things that didn't. I'm going to offer two examples. I may not have actually seen these myself because I was a little bit younger, but the stories were retold so many times, it seems like I'm an eyewitness. First, he was fascinated by the thermostat. He asked questions about how it worked. He wanted to test it for himself. So when no one was watching, he lit a match and held it up to the device to see the temperature rise. In doing so, he melted the bottom of the plastic and caused quite a ruckus when our folks saw the damage. Another time, he heard our mother describe our new living room sofa as mohair. Again, left to his own devices, he took a scissors to give the couch a trim. He wanted to see if that type of mohair would grow back with him. Again, I may have been too young to witness that, but it was repeated so often it became legend in our home. So what did this display? He was a precocious youngster who was anxious to know how did things work. What I do recall vividly is his fascination early on with cars. Growing up in the 50s, the automobile industry in America was in the midst of an explosive and creative growth spurt following the dormant war years. Al was instantly drawn to cars, like magnet, because they contained all kinds of mechanical devices with motors and gauges and gears and wires and batteries. He needed to know how each of them worked and how to fix them. If a neighbor where we grew up had a hood up. It was not long before Al's head was underneath it, asking questions. His first job as a young teenager was washing cars at an auto repair shop. A few years later, he owned that shop and made it locally famous as a place to tune up your car or get it repaired. Mm-hmm. When I was in the service, he was stationed at an Army hospital as a medic. That began a fascination with all things medical. His aptitude and curiosity might well have led him to a career in medicine. Instead, he was deeply interested in his own care and that of his family. He knew what the medicines were called and what they were supposed to do. So his intellect, his talent, and his curiosity resulted in the artisan we came to know and love. He figured out how things worked. He knew how to fix them. He was generous with his time, and he would do anything to help a friend. If he knew you needed help, he wouldn't wait to be asked. In conclusion, I want to take a moment to share the reflections from some people who have been touched by his generous spirit. Some of them are actually here today. When news of his sudden passing got out, I heard from Rabbi Ben Shlush, from Rabbi Mendel Weingarten, from Rabbi Mark Angel in New York, all describing, and Kenny Pollack, all describing Al in the same way, a respectful, generous, and talented man. I also received a message from Rabbi Busfila from Israel. I'd like to read it to you because I think it captures Al in a way that many of us could have written. Dear Joel, it's been a while since we've been in touch. I'm sorry we are reconnecting on a sad note, but I wanted to reach out and extend to you my deepest condolences on the passing of your beloved brother, Al. During my formative years as a rabbi in the Sephardic community in Los Angeles in the early 90s, I was blessed to have Al and his beloved wife as members of the Sephardic Temple Tiferet Israel. Those were special years. I have nothing but the fondest memories of Al. His glowing smile lit up our sanctuary every Shabbat. He prayed with such beauty and devotion. I remember his talit adorned with a beautiful silver lining around his neck. We enjoyed so many wonderful moments together, laughing. I can still hear his robust laughter. He loved our Sephardic traditions and was a big help to me in our synagogue. I was sad to see him move away from Los Angeles, but thanks to Facebook and email, we stayed in touch. As recently as last week, I had a wonderful exchange with him, which is why it's so surreal to see that he's gone to heaven. In the summer of 2017, I had the pleasure of his namesake, his grandson Al, being on my SEC Hamsa teen summer trip. It was special for me once again to be in the presence of Al Ben Aliel, and especially heartwarming to know that there is continuity in the family in Seattle. As you may have heard, Penny and I moved to Israel. We got here on Sukkot 2023 for a vacation just days before October 7th, and we ended up staying, and we now live in Israel. I'd love to catch up another time. For now, I just wanted to send my condolences and let you know how special he was to me. He will always have a special place in my heart. Sending love and condolences to the humble Min HaShemayim. Respectfully, Rabbi Muskino. Al's blessing will be a memory for all of us, for his sons and their beautiful families, and for all of us. Thank you.
Now, Jeff.
Beautiful, Joel.
On behalf of our family, we want to thank everybody who is with us today, in person and online. We want to thank everyone who has sent us condolences and remembrances of Dad. We want to express our gratitude to the Seattle Jewish Chapel and the Seattle Sephardic Brotherhood. They have lightened our burden at this difficult time with their tremendous care and compassion. Thank you to Rabbi Ben Zaken for officiating today and helping us. Our hearts are broken. Even so, we want to celebrate what was most important to him, his family, and the many genuine friendships across all walks of life. Growing up, there was one annual event that me and my brother looked forward to with a lot of anticipation. To be out there at horses, cows, tractors, rides, and we loved it. Our parents would take us every year. We would enter the fair excited to see all of those things. But we would make it in, and then there was a delay. We'd make it another 50 feet and another delay. The problem was we kept running into people that Dad knew. A friend from the Army, from the auto shop days, high school, the damaged railroad goods business, clothing customers. There was quite a few. We were really annoyed at the time, but we now know to appreciate that this was proof of his genuine connections with the people he met and the lasting impressions he made on them. While he was dating our mom, he decided to take up scuba diving because the guy he knew liked scuba diving too. My mom would sit on the pier and watch for bubbles to come up to make sure that he was okay. If you think he took the time to take lessons or get certified, you'd be wrong. And yes, there was a mishap when his mask and mouthpiece were knocked off while he was underwater. That may have been the end of that particular hobby. He loved motorcycles. All four of us would go on camping trips on the motorcycle and sidecar. We were members of the Northwest Sidecar Pilots Association. Shockingly, no longer in existence. On group rides, we would get pulled over by the state patrol for going too slow. One time on a motorcycle trip, we stopped for gas at the top of Stevens Pass. It was summer, but it was raining, and it was really cold. All of a sudden, a large group of Harley riders and choppers came riding up with minimally dressed women on the back. They were freezing and nearly hypothermic. Without hesitation, my mom and dad took out all of our rain gear and gave it to them.
Wow.
They just said, take it. Dad reserved a houseboat so we could cruise on the Sacramento River Delta. I was probably about 12. Michael, does that sound about right?
No, I was 15, so you were 16 or so. I didn't have my license yet, but you did.
Either way, not a great idea, really. The rental office for the houseboat didn't mention to my dad that the entire Sacramento River Delta essentially a giant nudist colony. So early one morning, I didn't want to get up early to go fishing, but Michael really wanted to go fishing. So he and my dad took the dinghy that was attached to the houseboat, but they got stuck in the middle of a channel on a lock. Eventually, two couples in a small outboard boat came to pull them free, wearing nothing but baseball hats. My mom was always game for these adventures. Her willingness to go along with these escapades made for great memories. We are thinking of Mom and missing her so much. We are taking comfort knowing that our parents are together again. When her illness progressed, she made a point to tell her dad not to be lonely after she was gone, to be sure to find someone to enjoy life with. When my dad told us that he was dating Barbara Calvo, we were happy for him. But we didn't know Barbara, and we were a little nervous, wondering if she was a good fit for him. We were invited over to Barbara's house on Lake Burien for dinner, and within 30 seconds, our concerns melted away. We knew that she was wonderful and going to be a great partner for Dad. We missed Barbara deeply, and are so thankful that she was a part of his life and ours. Al's varied interests and career sounds they don't have anything in common, but if you knew Dad, you knew that he was a people person. His friendships meant the most to him. Yesterday, or Wednesday, a Jennifer and Rena posted a message on his Facebook page announcing that he had passed. The quantity and quality of the messages expressing shock, sorrow, and condolences are a reminder of how much he was loved. So many said that they had just spoken with him and made plans to get together. Mm-hmm. He never missed an opportunity to let his friends and family know how much he loved them. Everywhere he went, he made friends. He never forgot a name, a face, or a phone number. He would greet people in their own language, usually guessing correctly whether they were Greek or French, Filipino or Chinese. He would get a smile and usually make a lifelong friend. When he was in the hospital, the pharmacist would come and want to review all of his many medications. He knew every single one, the dosage, the frequency. He would tell the pharmacist last time the dosage was changed. This process took at least 20 minutes. And they were always surprised that he was able to get all this information to them from memory without any question as to its correctness. Mm-hmm. I would then joke with the pharmacist that if they were running low on something, give us a call, we could probably help them. He was a frequent visitor to the pharmacy at the Walmart in Bellevue near his apartment. He told me he loved going there and that all the staff were very helpful to him. Occasionally I would pick up a prescription for him and the staff would ask me with genuine concern if he was okay. Yesterday, our daughter Rachel decided to stop by the Walmart pharmacy and asked to speak to the manager. She explained that Dad loved getting his prescriptions filled there and visiting with the staff. Rachel shared the sad news that he had passed. The manager was visibly upset and explained that Dad was a good friend who always greeted him in French, as that was his native language. Dad was a great role model for his children and grandchildren, showing us the importance of serving our community with time and resources. Getting involved when there was a need without being asked, always looking to help people without an expectation of anything in return. We pray we can continue to live by his example.
Now,
in thinking about my papu, I've considered some of his most defining traits, and I want to highlight just a couple of qualities that I think made my papu such a special person. He was the most positive and optimistic man I've ever met. He had so much joy and wanted nothing more than to give it to his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. He and my noni were the kind of grandparents that we always wanted to see. They would host sleepovers and we'd watch movies, play games, and search through the candy drawer. Andrew reminded me that they had a whole room in their house designated just for us grandchildren to play with every toy you could imagine. They'd show up to every birthday party and graduation. And even after Noni passed away, he maintained his role as a loving and fun papu. Just a week afterward, actually, my brother Joe was born, and my papu babysat me and Anna, even taking us out for dinner. Mm-hmm. I was just 6 years old at the time, and I didn't appreciate then how hard it must have been. He continued to play a huge part in our lives, always bringing a good spirit and some amazing stories. He even welcomed two more grandchildren, Jacob and Esty, mm-hmm. and treated them just the same. His optimism meant that he always had plans. Some were more realistic than others. But he was really always thinking about the future. Just this week on Tuesday, he told me he still hoped to make a trip out to New York. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him ever saying a negative word about anybody or really even complaining at all. He was a happy, positive, and kind person. He could really be friends with everybody, and I thought he was friends with everybody. The other quality is one that my Uncle Joel mentioned earlier. I don't think I'd ever really heard anyone describe my papa with this term, but now I have. My papa was an incredibly curious person. He never graduated high school, but he was always learning. Everything was fascinating to him. I think it's what led him to so many hobbies and so many different interests. He always wanted to learn more. He would often call me and share a new insight from the Imam Loez or a new piece of our family history he discovered. Mm-hmm. I believe his curiosity and interest in basically everything made an impact on his grandchildren. He always wanted to know what we were learning about, and he was genuinely interested in everything we had to share. These two qualities are part of what made him such an incredible grandfather, and they're also part of the legacy he left with his family. I think they have become part of what it means to be a Benoliel. It really is. It's hard to find my dad or Uncle Jeff not smiling or cracking a joke, and the rest of us too. His curiosity was definitely passed down to us as well, whether it's bird watching, rock collecting, learning to play an instrument, or reading an encyclopedia for fun. His endless interest in knowing more is definitely alive within his grandchildren. He was truly an amazing grandfather, an amazing papu, and it's obvious that his impact will stretch far beyond his lifetime. Thank you.
John. Good job.
A few months ago, I was privileged to be able to give my papu a letter of appreciation. And just a few short weeks ago, he told me that he liked the letter so much that when his time came, he would like me to read it at his funeral. Mm-hmm. So this is that letter.
Wow.
Dear Papu, thank you so much for being one of the most important people in my life. Thank you for teaching me what it means to give unconditional love and to be there for family, to live life with creativity and to spread joy wherever I go. I have learned so much from you, and I will take your values with me for the rest of my life. A week before I was born, my Noni, your wife, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and sister were lucky to spend time with both of you, but I never knew my Noni. Since you were my only grandparent living nearby, and I was the youngest of your grandchildren, our relationship was unique. I remember you would pick me up if I needed a ride after school, or take me out for the day when I had a day off. You would drive through Seattle, and you would point to every other building, knowing their history and tell me the fascinating stories along them. I knew a day out with Papa would be interesting, meaningful, and I would always learn something new. Some of my fondest memories of my childhood were when you would pick up my brother, sister, and me for a night out, giving my parents a well-deserved break. You would take us out to dinner, and you would always make sure to make it special, by getting some special dessert or by taking us to the store for spontaneous toy shopping. You taught me what it means to be there for your family. Growing up, your home was a comforting place where family was always welcome. I remember the various artwork you created and displayed all over your house.
Mm-hmm.
Copper, wood, and antler pieces were hanging on the walls. When I would walk into your workshop, the smell of sweet sawdust rushed into my nose. Various machinery and tools were everywhere. You would be making mezuzot to give as wedding and bar and bat mitzvah gifts. The lathes would spin fast as you would teach me how to craft pens and other woodwork. No matter what I would make, you would treat it as a valuable piece of art. You gave me confidence and feeling of accomplishment. You taught me how rewarding creating things with your own hands can be. When I leave home, I hope to face the world with a positive and optimistic attitude like yours. Whenever we were out and we encountered other people, you treated everybody like a friend, starting conversations and showing genuine interests in others' lives. He even made an effort to always say hello to people in their native language, no matter what it was. And I saw the joy on people's faces when he surprised them with a hello in Japanese, Spanish, Filipino, the list goes on. You have always been such a big part of my life and my family. And if I'm able to spread joy in the world like you do and go about my journey in life with a smile like yours, I will be content. No matter where I go, I will always remember where I came from and the family you established. I feel proud to tell people that I'm your grandson, and I hope to carry on your legacy.
Pretty good.
Just have